Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In this hour, the top three at three. A host on this station said something I find incredibly offensive. I'll go after this person in the next segment. Amanda Borges, a Yahoo national digital personality, was on the field for Clemson's national championship game. So how did Trevor Lawrence look to her up close? Plus, the best thing we heard today, all still to come in the final hour of the week. Want to invite you to follow us as we grow this new show, as we come to the end of the first week here on Offsides with Mark and Lonzo. You can follow us at ESPN Upstate. You can follow me at Mark Ryan On Air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan On Air. You can follow Lonzo at Lonzo On Word. Give us a call, 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. You can also hit us on the Health Dare text line. Simply text 71307, start your text with the letters ESPN, and then get to your text to check on the Health Dare text line right now. Thank you for saying that. I have said before that Brady is nothing without Belichick. I've been ridiculed for that. Lonzo is dead on. I'm getting outnumbered here. You, Lonzo, and Seth Rogen's father-in-law, and I am losing big time. And when I'm losing, what I like to do is change the subject. So let's do that right now. It's time for the top three at three. That is campy, and I love it.
It's growing on me.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It is really cheesy as hell. You want some wine with that cheese? It's fantastic. Okay. Furman and Wofford tonight. Okay, here we go. We got new beds. We got new imaging here, okay? So you and I are going to figure this out together. Let's hit it with number three. Love it. Love it. Okay, Furman and Wofford tonight in SoCon action. All right. So we've got Wofford is sitting here at 14-4. The Paladins Furman at 15-3. A key game in the SoCon. What do you think, Lonzo? Who do you got?
I got Wofford.
He got Wofford. Look, I think both of these teams are good. I think it's a crime that this is likely to be a one-bid league. Give me Furman to go in and get it done. They're the third-place team in this particular league right now. Jordan Lyons is going to need a big game tonight against Wofford, and hopefully he can get it done. It's a great game. These are the type of events that I want to go get out and see. I want to go see the Swamp Rabbits. I want to go see Furman. I want to go see Wofford play basketball. Really kind of tour and explore this beautiful area. Can't wait to see that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's hit it. What's up next? We've got the conference championship games, and I'm going to give you my predictions right here, right now. Kansas City all over New England, 34-13 in the AFC conference championship game. Big time yards over 400 for Pat Mahomes. We will be saying on Monday that the New England Patriots dynasty is dead. Over. Finuto. Too old. Not enough offense, not enough firepower on the offensive side of the ball, and they are going up against a Ferrari. I think Kansas City, great defensive performance last week against a Colts team that really pounded the Houston Texans. Give me Kansas City, and give me Kansas City big, big over the New England Patriots in a dynasty finishing and a dynasty decapitating performance in the AFC Championship game. Also, over in the NFC, I like the Saints to win and cover over the LA Rams. If you're talking about betting lines, I like Kansas City, and I'm laying the three, okay? I'm taking Kansas City. I'll give New England 3 points. Over in the NFC, I like the Saints, and I have to give up 3.5. I'm a little less comfortable doing that, but we'll go ahead and make it official. The Saints have the best defense of any of the teams remaining in the playoffs. They're ranked number 14th in the NFL, okay? They play on both sides of the ball. Drew Brees still can throw for a ton of yards, but with his running game with Kamara and Ingram and company, and with Thomas at wide receiver, it's not all on Drew Brees anymore. I think they were consistently the best team in the NFC throughout the year. We've already seen them beat the LA Rams at home. I think they will repeat that with a good defensive performance. I think the Rams' offense will not be able to keep up with what the Saints are doing on the offensive side of the ball. Give me the Saints 28-20 over the LA Rams in the NFC Championship game. And on Tuesday, right here on the show, because I am out Monday for Martin Luther King Day, Diddy will be sitting in here on Offsides with Diddy on ESPN Upstate. He'll be filling in on Monday. But on Tuesday, my prediction is we will be saying not only that the Patriots dynasty is in fact done, but also that the New Orleans Saints are your Super Bowl favorite in 2019. They're your Super Bowl favorite. They're the team that I like as the betting favorite to win the entire thing. Sean Payton needs it. Drew Brees needs it. Both of those guys, they don't want to be tub-thumping Chubba-Wumba. I get knocked down. They don't want to be the one-hit wonder. They want to prove that they're among the very best to have ever do it, to have ever done it. And to do that, you need multiple championships. Here's their chance to do that. They have the team to do it. They play the best defense of any team remaining. And finally.
So I don't get to pick mine? I mean,
let's see what you got. I was waiting for you. Lonzo,
you
come
were on. Still talking. I didn't want to interrupt you. Okay, I agree Kansas City's going to win. I think they're going to win big also, but I'm going to go with 28-14, which is not that much different than yours. But I am going to differ with you on the other game. I think the Rams are going to get it done just because the Rams feel like they were disrespected when they got beat down the last time they played the Saints. And I think they're going to come in with a vengeance. And I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, which would surprise everybody. So I'm going Rams 14-10.
No way. You know, the Saints did fall earlier this year. What was it, 13-10 or 10-3, something like that,
low.
To the Dallas Cowboys? There has been a team that's offered a blueprint on how to slow that offense down. Are the Rams the team that can do it? I don't see it. I think that's the best. That and Lambeau Field. You know, the Mercedes-Benz Dome and Lambeau Field are the two best home field advantages in all of the NFL. Those are the two that most closely resemble a college football advantage. And I think both home teams win. I think both home teams win. I truly, truly do. And finally, we now get to number one. Number one in the top three at three. Here we go. I'm going to give you my list, the top 10 quarterbacks in college football entering the 2019 season. First, let me tell you who misses the list. Iowa's Nate Stanley, Nebraska's Adrian Martinez, Stanford's KJ Costello, okay? And Shea Patterson of Michigan miss my list. Counting down from 10 to 1, my top 10 quarterbacks in college football entering the 2019 season. At number 10, you guys know him well, Kelly Bryant, transfer to Missouri. He's the new quarterback there for the Tigers. The Tigers are so well coached under Barry Odom, pounded my alma mater this year, Florida. Kelly Bryant, I think, is a perfect fit for what they want to do there. Kelly Bryant, 10th best quarterback in college football entering the 2019 season. At number 9, I have Jacob Eason. Georgia has landed the number one quarterback recruit in the country 2 years in a row, and neither one of them can get on the field, and both had to transfer because of the brilliance of Jake Fromm. Jacob Eason, now starting for Washington, my number 9. The other Georgia quarterback, now with Ohio State, he's appealing to throw out the one-year wait requirement at Ohio State, Justin Fields. Should he win that appeal? Should he get to start right away? Justin Fields is the 8th best quarterback in the country, in my opinion, this year. At number 7, you saw him take over for Brandon Winbush, now of UCF. Ian Book of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish is my seventh best quarterback in the country this year. Made that Notre Dame offense much more electrifying. You just didn't see that against Clemson. 30-3 beat down. Number six, the quarterback that may have gone number one overall this year, certainly would have been a number one pick, first round pick. He decided to stay in school. Justin Herbert at Oregon is my number six overall quarterback in college football in the 2019 season. Fundamentally sound player, lacks the spectacular plays, and is going to need to show he can make the big play if he wants to be a top 10 pick in next year's draft. On to the top five. At number five, yet another person in the transfer portal, Jalen Hurts, going to Oklahoma. A perfect fit for someone who wants to show he can throw the football. And look at the lineage. Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy winner. Kyler Murray, Heisman Trophy winner. Can Jalen Hurts do the same in Norman, Oklahoma? We will soon see. He is the fifth best quarterback in college football, in my opinion, here in 2019. At four, a poor man's Tim Tebow, Sam Ellinger. Great job beating Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Can run, can throw, has wanted to be a Longhorn his entire life. I look for big things from the Longhorns and Ellinger in 2019. At number three, the aforementioned Jake Fromm at the University of Georgia. He's got first round draft pick written all over him. He's incredibly accurate with the football, and he's been good enough not to sit when you've landed the two top quarterback recruits in the country 2 years in a row. Jacob Eason couldn't unseat Jake Fromm. Justin Fields couldn't unseat Jake Fromm. He's the third best quarterback in college football. At number two, I have Tua Tagovailoa. He's going to put up monster numbers again next season. And at number one, of course, he's just a sophomore entering 2019, but it's got to be none other than Trevor Lawrence. Perhaps the best quarterback prospect that I've ever seen as a freshman. And one thing you never say about freshmen, he's unflappable. Nothing makes him sweat. Nothing gets under his skin. I've never seen that out of a freshman, and I have seen that out of Trevor Lawrence. Amanda Borges, a national Yahoo sports personality on TV and on digital, was on the field for the national championship game. She will join us at 3:40. To share what Trevor Lawrence looks like in person. But coming up next, a host on this station said something I find incredibly offensive. I'll go after him next. You're listening to Offsides with Mark and Lonzo. It's right here on ESPN Upstate. You're listening to Offsides on ESPN Upstate. My friend Amanda Borges from Yahoo will join us in the next segment. She's a national TV and digital personality. She was on the field for Clemson against Alabama in the national championship game. I'm going to ask her to bring us there. What was the vibe? What was the feel on the field? And what does Trevor Lawrence look like at eye level? How does his performance look at eye level? She'll join us in the next segment to talk about that with us. But you heard me say it, folks. You heard me say it. A host on this station yesterday said something that offended me. And I find this deeply offensive that we'll go ahead and name him now, that Josh Phillips would come on these airwaves and bloviate.
Did you have to read that to get his name right?
I've been calling him Josh Childress.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
This was a very Josh Childress take of him yesterday. But he, of course, is Josh Phillips. And it's funny because I really like him. The take could not have been worse. Okay? And I saw this on our Twitter feed yesterday. And I was feeling good, man. I got through a Friday Eve show and one show left in the week. I'm feeling good. And then all of a sudden I got nauseous after this, man. I got nauseous after seeing this. Josh Phillips yesterday on the afternoon show. Help me out here.
Straight up with Sturge. No,
and Sturg. I keep calling it Sturge on sports for some reason. Straight up with Sturge. On the afternoon show said the following. The Big 12 is the best conference in college football. If you think the SEC is still number one, guess what? People used to think the world was flat. Oh, my gosh, Josh. I mean, do you wish suffering on people, Josh? You have given me massive amount of headache, massive amount of head pain since that particular moment when I saw that yesterday. And, Josh, to think somebody that I genuinely like would cause me so much pain, to think somebody that I genuinely like would be capable of such a god-awful take. Josh, where do you get your takes? The trash can? Where do they come from? Where are you pulling these out of? Seriously, the recycle bin? I can't even believe I've heard this, okay? The most deeply offensive thing I've ever heard. Well, first of all, Kyrie Irving still believes the world is still flat. I mean, he believes it's flat. So there are still people out there that believe just that.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
You can.
In case Josh is listening, I want you to tell Josh right now that I said nothing about Kyrie and the earth is flat, because you don't know that Josh is a big Celtics fan, and I've been dogging him about the Kyrie thing for months. So right away, Josh will think that I told you to say that. So let me make sure.
Little foreshadowing here. Kyrie may or may not make an appearance in the best thing we heard today coming up later in this hour. So a little disclaimer there from Alonzo, but Josh Phillips saying yesterday the Big 12 is the best conference in college football. If you think the SEC is still number one, guess what? People used to think the world was flat. Really, really, Coach Phillips. Really, Josh Phillips. First of all, to say the Big 12 is better than the SEC after one bowl season would be like deciding a woman you've never met is your wife because she winked at you from the other end of the bar. Not wise. It would be like selecting your car on the fact that the dealership gave you $5 off the vehicle. Really dumb. It would be like sending your kid to the college that sent you glossy print stationery in the mail. You're making your college decision based on that? Based on four bowl games, Josh? Based on a sample size that's that small? Reality, Josh, wake up and smell the coffee, my friend. It's not close. You can cling to your four-game sample size if you want, Josh. A four-game sample size, which included no games won by more than a touchdown. We see you guys lighting up the phone lines right now. We will get to your calls. The bowl games that he's talking about, and the reason why Josh feels like the Big 12, erroneously feels like the Big 12 is better than the SEC, is because the Big 12 won 3 out of 4 bowl games against the SEC this year. Whoop-de-freaking-do. Alabama beat Oklahoma in the most important game, in a game that Oklahoma was never in. Texas beat Georgia 28-21 in a game Georgia didn't want to be in. Oklahoma State beat Missouri 38-33. Baylor beat Vanderbilt 45-38, and based on that, you're telling me the Big 12 is better than the SEC? Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead. I mean, it's like selecting your wife because a woman that you don't know winked at you at the other end of the bar. It's senseless. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But let me establish this here. Let's establish a little something-something, shall we? Let's go through all of the different reasons why the Big 12 can't sniff the SEC, can't sniff them in any way, shape, or form. All right? Last 5 years, number of top 10 recruiting classes per 24/7 sports, SEC 21, Big 12, 7. 21-7, top 10 classes the last 5 years, according to 24/7 sports. Oh, but Josh, I can go on. And I will, dear Joshy, I will. 2013 to 2017. How about first round NFL draft picks? The SEC versus the Big 12. Well, the Big 12, the last 5 years, Josh, has had all of 11 first round picks in 5 years. 11 first round picks. The SEC, 50 to 11. First round picks. You're wishing I would stop now, Josh. Uh-oh. I threw out a bunch of nonsense on the air. I didn't think Mark Ryan was going to research it. Ah, but I did, Joshy boy. I sure did. 50-11 first round picks the last 5 years in the NFL draft in favor of the Southeastern Conference. How about the conference? Has any conference had the most players drafted consecutive years in a row? That's never happened. Surely it changes from year to year, right? The conference with the most players drafted in all seven rounds. Hey, Joshy boy, the last 12 years, 12, the SEC has had the most players drafted 12 years in a row. Josh, that take of yours is drowning without a life raft, dear friend. It is drowning. Last year, the SEC had 53 players drafted. The Big 12, 20. 53 to 20. Keep coming, Josh. Keep coming with these BS takes, man, because I'll research them all day long. And I'm coming at you with the fire of a thousand suns. And then finally, since 2006, who's won the most national championships out of the 13 national championship games that have been played since 2006? The SEC has won 9 of 13 national championships. The Big 12 has won 0. Josh Phillips, I have but one question for you. Do you like apples? How do you like them apples, Joshy boy? Game over. Checkmate. Thanks for playing. Thanks for playing. You have no argument, Josh. None. Continue to think the world is flat. You'd be closer to the Big 12 ever being better than the SEC. It's not even freaking close. Good luck. Thanks for playing. Please try harder next time. Josh Phillips. Billy has been hanging patiently on the line. Billy, thanks so much for the call. Billy, you're offsides. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark. I'll be brief. Just wanted to make predictions on the AFC and NFC championship game.
Cool. Let's see what you got, man.
Well, I agree with you on the Kansas City pick. I know that probably Lonzo doesn't want to hear that because I've been wrong about Kansas City a lot. But I think that, I just think all dynasties must come to an end, and I think we've seen the end of New England's dynasty last year. They're not going to just fall flat on their face. That's not how these things work, but it's gradual. Last year they made it to the Super Bowl. They got embarrassed because their defense couldn't stop nobody. Brady kept them in the game. I don't think that defense is that much better. I can't get that out of my mind. I just think this Kansas City team, even in cold weather, is just going to score at will on them. Do I think Brady's going to put up some points? Well, obviously he will, but I just don't think it's going to matter. I think that Kansas City's going to beat them by at least 10 points, if not more.
Yeah, I think Kansas City dominates them. Again, the comparison I made was a Toyota Camry to a Ferrari. New England at this stage is a Toyota Camry. And look, I love a Toyota Camry. It's my favorite car of choice, right? It's steady Eddie. It gets the job done. But in no way can it match the horsepower of a Ferrari. New England doesn't have the horses to deal with what Kansas City is going to put out there in a home game with revenge on the mind after a very close game that was at New England earlier in the year. Billy, I'm telling you what, my friend. I'm telling you what. Kansas City big over New England.
I agree with that. Here's my thing. Everybody's talking about Belichick's genius, and nobody's going to argue that. But you can't be a genius when you just overmatch talent-wise. That Kansas City offense versus that New England defense, it's not even close. And if you start looking at roster, okay, Brady, you're going to take Brady over anybody. I give you that. I know that kid's young, but Brady's still Brady. And then, you know, the tight ends are probably a wash. After that, who do you got? There's nobody that I would take on Kansas City or New England's roster that I would pick over Kansas City. So there's that. And then the other game, I'm going to go with the Rams. That coach really impressed me. I'm a big Dallas fan.
No way.
Listen to me. Dallas has had a legit defense all freaking year, okay? They could stop the run. Nobody's been over the run on them. That coach, McVay, the play calling was sensational. They won that game off play calling. That's all it was. Whenever Dallas put their linebackers right up on the line in the middle, they run on the outside. They took Gurley, took him outside. Whenever they played the outside running lane, they went right up the middle with C.J. Anderson. New Orleans has not been the same since Dallas beat them. They've won some games, but they have not looked good winning those games. To me, it's going to be the Rams, and I'm not going to say easily. I think they're going to win, though, and then we're going to look at a Kansas City and a Rams Super Bowl that probably had the highest total set of all time. Anyway, I appreciate your time, Mark. You take care, buddy.
Hey, thanks for the call, Billy. I do appreciate that, however wrong you may be. Saints by 10, Chiefs by 20 in the two games this weekend, in the two conference championship games. Those are your scores. That's how I feel. That's how it's going to be. As a betting man, I like KC -3. I like the Saints -3.5. And I think we're looking at a Chiefs-Saints Super Bowl. And it's really, I mean, think about that Super Bowl for a minute, right? It's, in a sense, it's a nightmare for the NFL because you've got two smaller market teams, two teams that have been also-rans for most of their existence. The Chiefs, I mean, Lonzo has had to deal with the Chiefs ripping his heart out each and every postseason for as long as he can remember. Lonzo, how much hope would you think is put into this year's playoff run, given the heartbreak of postseason runs past?
Listen, I think everyone who's a Chiefs fan believes this year, this is the year. This is the year they're going to do it. I don't really have any doubts. I really believe that they're going to beat New England, and I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. Again, I'm already trying to figure out a way to get to Atlanta. I really am. Before, it's just small hope, and now they're in the AFC Championship game. I got to figure this out. I got to get to Atlanta because the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl, and I need to go watch it.
Are you going to Atlanta? Are you going to make your way down there? Is it going
to
happen?
No, I need to talk to legal and find out if I can have a GoFundMe page started to get me to Atlanta to see my team.
You know, you and I were joking about this on Twitter last week or the week before, and you were saying you were going to mortgage your house. Just don't tell your wife.
Yeah, she got wind of that. She's not for that.
You and I should have a discussion about the worst decisions we've ever made having to do with sports. Perhaps we can do that next week. That might be one of the worst decisions you could ever make. But hey, man, I say, and to Mrs. Lonzo, I would say this: it's his team. He's waited his entire life to get to this point. He deserves the right to go to Atlanta to try to get into that stadium. I don't care if you have to sneak in. I don't care if you have to make yourself foldable to fit in somebody's bag. If you get in that stadium, Lonzo, that would be a once-in-a-lifetime experience for you, and the Chiefs will be there. The Patriots dynasty is dying on Sunday. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by a national Yahoo Sports personality. Her name is Amanda Borges. She was on the field for the national championship game. So how would she describe Trevor Lawrence's performance up close? You're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. ESPN Upstate, we are Offsides with Mark and Lonzo. Happy Friday to you guys. Hope you're doing fantastically. I'll tell you what, you've heard my top 10 quarterbacks for the 2019 season. Counting down from 10 to 1, Kelly Bryant, Jacob Eason, Justin Fields, Ian Book, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts at 5, Sam Ehlinger at 4, Jake Fromm at 3, Tua Tagovailoa at 2. The best quarterback in the country for me in 2019 just finished his true freshman season. Are you kidding me? Trevor Lawrence, yes, the best quarterback in the nation. And who'd have thunk it? He plays his college football right here in the upstate of South Carolina as we conclude the first week of our program here on the station. Joining us right now is a good friend of mine. I've known her for about 5 years. You know when you meet somebody and you just know they've got it? Whatever that it is that's so hard to define, you just know they're going to be a star. You could see that in Amanda Borges. She ended up being the media person, the television and web personality for the New York Rangers, a reporter for the New York Rangers, and now she's moved on to California, much better climate, I might add, and she's doing some great digital national stuff for them. She was also on the field for the national championship game. Amanda Borges joins us right now on Offsides. Amanda, long time no talk. Great to catch up with you. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Mark. I feel like I don't pay you enough for all the compliments you just gave me. That was something.
You know what, Amanda? It's true, though. It's true. Like, you can identify people who have it, right? And like, when I first met you, it was like a freezing day in January. We were at some kind of sports... Where were we? We were at
a conference in Tampa.
Yeah.
And there were some Bucks higher ups there, and I was actually there to hopefully schmooze some Bucks people to work for them. And I ended up meeting you, and we were talking outside, and you connected me with the program director in Jacksonville, which is where I ended up getting the job. So really, I have you to thank for the past few years of my career.
No, not so much. Not so. If it wasn't me giving you a lead, Amanda, somebody else would have. Trust me. You've got it. It's great to have you on. Congratulations on your new gig with Yahoo. How's that going so far?
Thank you, Mark. I want to extend the congrats to you as well for a whole week of your own show. That's amazing.
It's fantastic. I'm really excited to be here. This is great. You ever been to this part of the country, Amanda? Greenville, South Carolina, kind of the upstate. Clemson is by here. It's beautiful.
I went to a Clemson, Florida State game in 2012, I believe, and it was the best college football game I've ever been to in my life to this day. So yes, I have been, and I loved it. It was beautiful.
Fantastic. So, Amanda, you're on the field. I saw all of your pictures. You look like you were having a blast at the national championship game. Can you bring us on the field here? We got so many Clemson fans, about a million people in our listening area. What was that like? What was the vibe? What was the electricity level like being on the field for that game?
Well, I have to tell you, I might have a little bit of a one-sided opinion here because I happen to be standing on the Clemson sideline. So to me, the Clemson fans were loud and proud and they made their presence known. But, you know, once the game got started, you could see that the stadium was full of Alabama fans as well. But I stayed mostly on the Clemson side for pregame warmups and stuff. And the fans were there. That was really incredible to see. One thing being now in the Bay Area here in California, there was a lot of talk about, will fans come? Will they travel out to the West Coast? And even though we know Alabama fans and Clemson fans travel well, you just nobody knew. Prices dropped. So there was that unknown going into the game. But once we were there, it was very obvious that that everyone traveled really, really well. But I must say that I was very, very impressed by the Clemson players and how confident they were from start to finish. I got to interview a few players after the game, and that was the main theme. Every time I asked, like, what is it about you guys? Like, how did you beat Alabama? And they were always talking about confidence. And I heard you mention Trevor Lawrence just now. He's your number one quarterback. He is so impressive. It's unbelievable. You see him and you forget he's 19 years old. It's just remarkable how mature he is, how confident he is, and it's something that trickles down to the rest of his teammates. And that's something that not everyone can do at 19. So it's really incredible.
In terms of the throws that he made, in terms of seeing those on the sideline, I mean, I've heard some national personalities. I've heard Colin Cowherd say that he puts him right up there with John Elway and Andrew Luck in terms of the best quarterback prospects he's ever seen. I mean, what did he kind of looks like a transformer. I mean, he's such a prototype. It's amazing. I mean, Amanda, I'm somewhat embarrassed to admit that my body did not look like that as a freshman in college. It didn't look like that 10 years after I finished college. It's never looked like that. I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was actually only on the sideline for pregame and postgame coverage. So I was up in the press box, which I actually like because then you get to see the whole field.
Sure.
You get to see everything that's going on. But you're right. The throws that he makes, you sit back and you're like, wow, okay, but there's no way he can do that again, right? And then he does. And then he does it again and again. And you look at him and he's never really phased. Like, of course he gets excited, but he's just cool, calm, and collected. And I think that that's something any coach wants in really any player, but mostly a quarterback. And I think that's why so many analysts and experts, like, they really, really, really like this guy because he has all of these traits that make up what a pro quarterback is. And he's going to do great things. But let's not push him out yet. I think that he has a lot to accomplish still at Clemson. And I think that should be really exciting for your listeners who are huge Clemson fans.
Yeah, and he mentioned after the game that he'd like to win three more national championships. Just let's decapitate the rest of college football if he's staying for three additional years. Forget about it. Trevor Lawrence, the most amazing freshman I've ever seen. I saw on your Twitter feed, Amanda, and we want to invite our listeners to follow you on Twitter, which can be done at A Borges TV. That's ABORGES TV. You were talking about Kyler Murray and some potential landing spots for him. Every year, there's kind of like a case study quarterback that no one really knows about. And I think personally that the knock that quarterbacks have gotten on their height has been flushed down the toilet years ago. When you look at the success of guys like Doug Flutie, Russell Wilson slipped to the third round because he's not tall. He's one of the top five quarterbacks in the league today. What I saw from Kyler Murray over the course of the season was nothing short of miraculous, and he single-handedly kept Oklahoma in their playoff game and rallied them in that playoff game. I'm a Kyler Murray believer, Amanda. I'd like to see how you size him up and also ask you if there's any particular fits in the NFL that you think might be good for him.
Yeah, let's not forget about Eddie LeBaron. He was 5'7". Now, I know that was a long time ago, but
sure.
He was short. 5'7". 5'7" is very short. But the common theme when you mention all of these shorter NFL quarterbacks, the common theme to me is that they were all given a chance. And I hear so many people now talking about Kyler Murray, and a lot of people are like, you know, I don't see it. He's too short. He's got small hands. That's just not going to fare well in the NFL, but I think they're wrong. Why would you not give a Heisman-winning quarterback a chance, especially in a draft that's very defense-heavy? There are so many NFL teams that are in need of a quarterback, and I think someone will give him a chance. Now, I think Dwayne Haskins will be the first quarterback to go, and there are even a few others that might go before Kyler, but I don't see Kyler falling past like 14 or 15. A lot of people have him going to the Dolphins since there's some unknown there with Ryan Tannehill, but there's no reason why he won't be given a chance. And everyone's mentioning his height, but OU assistant AD Mike Houck, he tweeted that when their strength staff measured him before the season, he was 5'9 and 7'8". So they'll probably round that up to like 5'10 when he gets measured. Obviously, we'll see that when he gets measured at the NFL Combine. Mm-hmm. 5'10 isn't, I mean, yeah, of course it's short, but it's not 5'7 like LeBaron was. So I think that scouts and team management, they'll find a way to look past that.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of his as well, and I'm a fan of your work, Amanda. Encourage you to follow her on Twitter, at AborgesTV. She's doing great video pieces on many different sports. I saw one on the Warriors. Are they the most hated team? Greg Hardy, former NFLer, now applying his craft in the UFC. If it's a big sports story, you can trust that Amanda Borges is covering it for Yahoo. Again, A Borges at A Borges TV. Amanda, apologies for being a few minutes late. So great to catch up with you. Hope we can do it again sometime.
No worries at all. Thank you, Mark. Congrats again on the show.
Thank you so much. Amanda Borges of Yahoo in the Bay Area. All right, up next, we close the week with the best thing I heard today. That's next. This is Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. And welcome back. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you guys. Thank you so much for making the first week of this show so much fun. Want to thank the management here, Steve and Mark Hendricks, for bringing me here. Lonzo, an outstanding first week for you. You've battled through illness this week, man. You've done a fantastic job. I look forward to building this thing with you over the next weeks, months, and years. It is so fantastic to be here. All right, the best thing I heard today is Kyrie Irving. Remember, he wanted out of Cleveland because he wanted to be the man? Well, he's actually learned from his mistake. He called LeBron to apologize. Here's that audio.
I'll tell you one thing, and obviously this is something that it was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at, you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that. And, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people. And LeBron was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship. And it was hard for him. And sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And
maturity is a great thing, isn't it? Kyrie Irving is maturing. And the proof of that is he knows he shouldn't have asked out of Cleveland now. He wanted to be the man. Ain't so easy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.